Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
No, I was just checking to see if you were plugged in.
Well, my goodness. Aren't you in a sour mood this morning? I guess all this clouds and the overcast kind of hurt you a little bit.
No, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you why I'm in a sour mood.
Okay.
When I was at Kentucky, I drove a six-year-old Chevy Impala, and now Ty Ty is driving an $80,000 Porsche.
Yeah,
that's why I'm in a sour mood.
We couldn't
even have cars our freshman year.
No,
we couldn't cars. That's right. So I was walking when I was a freshman at UK.
Or you hitched a ride with one of the veterans.
There weren't very many veterans that were offering us rides.
Well, you know, our guy Louie would do it.
Nobody else.
But try getting a ride from Riley. No way, right? But Louie would take you to get a haircut or whatever you needed.
Good for Ty Ty.
Yep.
You know what I'm thinking, Mike? Not only is this name, image, and likeness going to enable colleges to compete with the G League and things like that, this might even, now I don't know the Washington family's financial situation, but if there's a kid who would normally be one and done, let's say, just for the sake of argument, that Ty Ty's family doesn't need the money immediately.
Right.
Wouldn't you like to stay at UK a second year and drive around campus in a Porsche? And I'm sure he's got a lot of other things coming, too. If he stayed that second year, this thing might not only enable colleges to compete with the G League, it might actually get colleges to keep these kids on another year or two.
It might. I mean, I can see where you're going with that, but I think a lot of it has to do with how the young fella or young gal approaches the academic piece. Now, I know a few years ago they had a guy who will remain unnamed, but he just didn't want to go to school. So he was a one-year guy because he didn't want to go to school.
Right, yeah.
All right? So that does happen everywhere. I mean, they know they have to go to school.
Now, they have to. If you're one and done, you have to be eligible first semester, right?
Yep. And because of the way they account for your players and the NCAA accounts for your players and their academic progress, if they don't finish the second semester, Kentucky's penalized.
Oh, okay.
They're
so
penalized.
So even if they're one and done, they want them to finish both semesters.
They really have done a nice job up there of keeping them. Michael Stone has kept them in the loop, knowing, and I think they talk about that when the kid comes to college, is what I understand. Before he signs, they say, look, here's the deal. You know, you can't just walk away after the last basket.
You've
got to continue your classes. And let's, like 35% of the other students at Kentucky, they take online courses. I mean, that's part of this world now.
Right, sure.
So they're on online courses.
Yeah.
And it's not that hard, okay, to finish that semester up. But Kentucky doesn't want to be penalized.
I'm laughing because my grandson just started at the University of Hawaii. He hasn't been inside a classroom yet. And it's because Hawaii is so so strict about the COVID requirements. So I asked him, I said, you know, how are things going? He said, and he went to Valor Christian, which is a really good high school in Denver. He said, Pops, after going to Valor, this Hawaii thing's pretty easy. so I can imagine taking courses online as they can get them through a year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of courses you can take online. I mean, it's not limited. I mean, there's a ton of courses.
Yeah.
So everybody with the travel and all the things, I do know that when we've traveled previously, now not last year because we didn't travel, but previously to the pandemic, Michael Stone, the academic advisor for baseball and basketball, travels with the team. And I've, you know, Michael will sit down when we're having a bite to eat, let's say, you know, at 7 o'clock at night, and he'll sit and talk to us, and he will say, well, I got to go upstairs. I've got a 8 o'clock, let's say, whatever it is, meeting with the guys that are doing their work online that have brought work with them. And so they really try to monitor that. And he gets pushback. He laughs about it. Yeah, they don't want to really do it.
Yeah, but, I can imagine.
But they he has study hall, for lack of better terminology, and it's online.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously, our online was the black and white television in your hotel room.
But that's a great point. That's a great point. If a kid isn't interested in the academic piece of it, you're not going to keep him there more than a year. That's for sure.
I just love it. Love it when you say, I made a great point. I mean,
well,
he's not here. I want him to write that down.
Mike, it happens so seldom that when you do, I've got to draw attention to it.
Well, a texter sent me a picture with, let's see. It says Pratt and the Dodgers or something like that. I can't read it. The bottom part, the Pratt stands out, the bottom part. Even with my glasses on, it's too difficult to read. But thank you, Texter. I guess that's something that, like Pratt, Kansas, it goes unnoticed unless you bring it up.
With the county seat of Prattville.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's really cool.
How about the... How about our boys, Kentucky boys, in last night in the NBA?
NBA.
Man, they quite a few of them had big nights.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Tyrese Maxey,
yep,
started in place of Ben Simmons, right, at Philadelphia?
He did, and I bet that broke everybody's heart on that team.
And had a really good game. Didn't he have like 20 points or something?
20 points, yeah. Yeah.
And there was an article this morning that I read that said yesterday, two nights ago, Philadelphia was already in New Orleans preparing for last night's game, and they had a team dinner, and they didn't talk a thing about basketball. It was just kind of bonding, and, you know, Embiid said he doesn't like to do that. He likes to stay in his room and play his video games, but he said it was really good that the team got together. New Orleans is awful.
The
Pelicans. I mean, they're in the words of Tony Kornheiser, they're 2 years away from being 2 years away. But that the Philadelphia came out and played great. I think they won by 20 points or something, but the starters didn't even play in the fourth quarter. It was so one-sided. And I'm going to tell you this. They put it off a day because Doc Rivers said, you know, they didn't get home till 2 o'clock this morning, so they're not going to practice today. But they have their home opener tomorrow. If they let Ben Simmons within a mile and a half of this team, they are idiots. I mean, it's going well. You got Maxey playing well in his place.
Tobias Harris?
Yeah, and you've got guys saying, hey, we don't want to babysit him. We don't want anything to do. Now, I understand, you know, they're trying to get some value for him when they move him. But if they let Ben Simmons come out for tomorrow's game, they're going to lose the whole team. They're going to lose the whole team.
I would agree. And we've talked about this. We speculated about this, whether it would affect the team or not. It looks to me like the whole team has said, see you later, big fella. We really don't care about you.
No, they don't. And they moved on. And, you know, I know Philadelphia is trying to maximize the return that they get when they trade him. But it looks to me like this can only get worse instead of better. And you know, when a guy comes to practice, Mike, and refuses to go into a drill, I mean, you know, don't suspend him for one game. Suspend him until you get rid of him. That's what you have to do.
Well, I'm in total agreement with you from a coaching standpoint. But does having him practice with you and play in a game, does that add value? Or do people know what he is? He is what he is.
Yeah, well, they're trying. Yes. If I was a general manager out there and had an inkling of interest in Ben Simmons, this would persuade me maybe to go away. But I get what they're doing. They're trying to make it look like, you know, this guy's a good guy and he'll help your team. And we want 3 draft picks for him. That ain't happening.
That's what you call passing the trash.
Exactly.
Pass the trash.
Exactly. And so what they ought to do before noon today, they ought to take, if they have any deals on the table, they ought to take one and move him on.
Well, I want to talk about P.J. Washington a little bit.
Okay.
He made 2 big foul shots to ice the game last night for Charlotte. And here's why I thought that was important. He got fouled on a rebound attempt to put back. But his freshman year in the NCAA tournament, we went to the regionals in Atlanta and drew Kansas State. And I liked that matchup. And, of course, the other game was Chicago-Loyola, who ended up winning that region,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
I thought the region shaped up pretty good for Kentucky. PJ was a freshman. So the second half, he kept getting fouled because he was making an effort to rebound, okay? The rest of the team I thought was sleepwalking for most of the game. That's why they got beat. But PJ, he goes up there. Dan, he missed like 15 of them or something.
I remember that? Yeah, I remember watching the game.
He got fouled every time because of his effort. And Marcia and I were talking about one time. She said, why did they leave him in the game? He can't shoot his foul shots. I said, he's the only one trying to rebound. He's the only one. You got to take your chances. So he comes back. His family decides, his dad was a high school coach, you need to come back for a year, to your point. Okay?
Yep.
And there wasn't name, image, and likeness.
No.
But PJ became a really good foul shooter the next year. And so I watched last night the clips from the games, stepped right up there and knocked him down. I was proud of
him. Yeah. And you know, proud of him and proud of the whole team. Remember, this is a team that in, I believe it was their last exhibition game, either the last or the next last, they got beat 175 points in Dallas. Remember that game?
I do.
Were absolutely awful. And last night, they were down 23. Now, if you got beat, and I think it might have been
55
60.
Points.
Yeah, I think it might have been 60. Yeah. But you get beat by 60 your last exhibition game, and you're losing by 23. You know, it might start creeping into the back of your mind. Hey, we're not very good, and they went on a 24-0 run against the Pacers and came back and won that game. And not only PJ played well, LaMelo Ball was spectacular.
He's an interesting story, is he?
You know, I was really down on that whole Ball family.
Exactly.
The first one that came out that, you know, had his own tennis shoes and his dad was going to sell tennis shoes for
Chicago now.
$750 a pair or something like that. That whole thing went away. And he wasn't very, he's not very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him play at UCLA.
Yep.
He's not very good. This kid, his brother, this kid can play.
Yeah.
This kid's got a game. So.
He does. And they've got the third one in the G League with Charlotte, I think. And it's probably a
family deal.
A family thank you. Put him in a G League and, you know, pay him a little bit of money. And then his brother's happy. But the story about LaMelo Ball is, where has his dad gone? Where has his dad gone?
Yeah.
Into
Big Baller Brand.
Big Baller Brand. That was it. Yeah, Big Baller Brand. And he had the sneakers and the hats and all that stuff.
Well, maybe somebody finally convinced him that, hey, you're not helping these kids. You're killing them. So shut up and go away. Maybe that's what happened. But, no, we haven't seen anything since uh, they they tried to sell $750 tennis shoes, and I think sold three pair or something.
Look, like that. I think he got his sons to the league. They looked at him and they said, "Dad, we're millionaires now. You're fired. Go back to being dad."
What's his name? LeVar?
LeVar Ball, yeah. And LaMelo's the youngest. So it took them three tries to get a dude who could actually play in the NBA.
No, I thought the one that's in the G League.
That's LiAngelo. He's the second one.
Yeah. Oh, really? He's the middle. Yeah. He was the middle.
No, LaMelo. No, no. Okay. Yeah, he's the youngest.
He can't. He's not. He may end up playing with somebody in the NBA on the bench, but he's not a.
The middle one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not ready for prime time.
No.
From what I've seen and what I've heard.
That's for sure.
But
so,
did you watch the Boston and Knicks a little bit of the baseball? Was so bad I had to get off baseball.
I did not, and I'm kicking myself. You told me I forgot that Coastal Carolina was on last
night. Well, no, we got to wait for that. We got to have a major discussion about those boys.
Yeah, but I forgot they were on, and I'm not a huge NBA fan early in the season, so I muddled through the two baseball games last night.
Well, that's odd. I am a big fan of the NBA in the first 6 weeks because I think they all come to play, assuming there's not injuries, and they're very healthy at that point. And I think when you get to the first of the year, there's guys that are hurt or lack the energy or the enthusiasm, and it gets bad until the playoffs.
No, Mike, and you know this as well as anybody. That, I mean, 82 games. I think we played 84 games in the ABA, and it was more concentrated than it is now. You know, you're playing three and four basketball games, and putting in some time. You know, not necessarily the guy that's at the end of the bench and plays every once in a while. But if you're playing some minutes, that season gets long in a hurry.
And that's why I like the first 6 weeks. Guys have energy. They've got enthusiasm. They haven't been hurt yet, to your point. And then after the first of the year, it just bogs down. Yeah. Because of your point is well taken. It bogs down. I just like the early ones.
I don't know. Maybe I was around the pro game for too long and saw too much of it.
Well, that's true.
And can't get excited about watching the NBA in October. But I wait till toward the end of the year.
Yeah, well, that's a great time to chop the middle out.
Yeah. If there's somebody like if it's a Nuggets game or a Phoenix game. Which there was last night, but I didn't stay up that late to watch it. But I really like watching the Nuggets because of my association with it. And there are some players. I've said this before. Chris Paul is my favorite player to watch because he knows how to play the game of basketball. So if there's someone or some team that draws my attention, I'll watch it. But to sit down and watch an NBA game.
A whole game.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a real hard time doing that.
Well, last night the Pacers played Charlotte, and Charlotte came from way back.
Yeah. And, 24, I think they had a 24 zip run in the third quarter.
Kentucky represented by P.J. Washington on one side and Isaiah Thomas, who didn't get in. Isaiah Jackson, pardon me, who did not get in.
But he's on the Pacers roster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was the 21st pick or 20th, something like that.
Yeah.
But the game I watched some of, and I don't know process where you watch this, was Boston and the Knicks. Randall was really good, okay?
He had 30. Overtime or double overtime?
No, double.
Double overtime.
Double OT. Double OT. He did have 30-something points.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I thought was interesting was Kemba Walker, who has played with various teams, to include Charlotte, Boston, and now he's with the Knicks. Yeah. And he's playing against guys he was teammates with a year ago.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, what does that mean? You know, what is this world coming to? I mean, it was, and he was laughing and joking with some of them during dead balls and foul shots.
Yep.
But it was interesting from that point. Randall, They tried to take the ball out of his hands the minute he got it, but he showed more poise last night, I think, in as far as how he got his baskets, how he got his points.
He wasn't forcing it, which he was at the end of last year, particularly in the playoffs. Yeah. He was really pushing it. Hey, Mike, let me tell you about the best pizza in Louisville. There are 14 area locations, including Bear Nose by the Bridge. George Shimmering, our good friend who brings pizza by every Friday here at the ESPN studios, is my favorite spot to watch the games. Great food, great drinks, and great people. Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner. All Bear Nose now delivering alcohol, carry out, and delivery to your home. Support your local businesses. Bear Nose is now hiring all positions. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
Are we going to talk pizza, eat pizza, or go to a break here, Process? No, what do you think?
No, we're going to...
I would like a bit of pizza right now this morning.
George doesn't bring pizza by until Friday, so okay. We'll have to wait.
The mustard ready for you.
A drizzle of mustard.
Did you see where the former director of quarantine research and development with the Dallas Mavericks?
He went off, didn't he?
Yeah. He called the franchise a high school drama. he was at odds with Donnie Nelson. I knew Donnie a little bit back in the day through Big Don, and seemed like a nice guy.
Oh, he's a great kid. Yeah. I've told the story before. We went we were at the at the combine. They don't call it the combine for basketball, but we were in Chicago, and Scott went with me. Scott was just, I don't know, 21, 22, something like that. And we were walking back from the workouts that night. And Donnie said to Scott, he said, "Come on, come with me. Get rid of all these old guys." So Scott and Donnie went out, and no telling what they did, but they got rid of the old guys for sure. No, Donnie's a great kid. Well, he's not a kid anymore, but
he started
60.
He was young. Donnie's 60.
Donnie is 60.
Yeah, Don Nelson's son, right?
Yeah,
he's 60.
Time flies when you're having fun.
How old is Don Nelson?
81, 82.
I gotta think he's 81. Younger than I thought, honestly. I thought he'd be closer to 90.
No,
81. I told you a couple of years ago, I went up to the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies and ran into this guy in the hospitality room. And he starts talking to me, and I'm thinking, you know, I should know this guy. It was Don Nelson. He looked like a homeless guy. He lives in Hawaii now.
Yeah.
And I think might smoke a little weed.
I think he does.
And he's got hair down to his shoulders, and he had on these ugly looking sandals. It took me about a minute or two to recognize who it was.
You know, Big Don was an advocate of coaching in a sweatsuit, and he didn't like the tie. And he would show up coaching later in his career with just an open collar. And then he was an advocate of the coaches being like, you know, able to coach on the sideline like a baseball coach but non-suit and tie. Yeah. He was not a suit and tie guy.
You know, when now we're going back 60 years, Don Nelson played in Iowa.
Yep, sure did.
And they had an unbelievable team. And one of the team members was from my hometown, a guy named T.T. Harris. And Nelson and just an outstanding team. And at semester, the four starters were declared, including T.T., were declared academically ineligible. And they went from having this great basketball team to having Don Nelson. He was the only starter that survived.
Do you ever hear in this day and age of guys being declared academically ineligible?
No, it doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't happen at all.
That's those online courses you're talking
about.
Yeah,
you basically just have to do, like, can you read is the class.
Well, the former Maverick executive.
Yeah.
Vulgaris, I think you pronounced.
Well, tell me, I just read the headlines, and then anything that has to do with Mark Cuban, I'm not interested in. So what happened?
Well, he had an ongoing battle with Donnie Nelson, who was president and ran the show.
Okay.
And
what did this guy do?
He was the director of... Well, hold on a second. Quantitative Research and Development, who became a polarizing figure within the
organization. Oh, he's a, what do you call him?
Analytic guy.
Analytic guy,
yeah. Absolutely. He's an analytic guy.
No wonder he was at odds with Donnie.
I didn't have a working relationship with other people in the front office at all, to the point where it was awkward. But that's the kind of MO or the way of doing things in the front office. Now, his great line, let me pull it up here. The great line, and I'll leave you with this in your read. Yeah, I could have been smarter about it if my goal was to win the Game of Thrones. Vulgaris said, comparing the Mavs culture to the HBO series, my goal was to make the team better.
Now, wasn't he... He was Cuban's guy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He convinced Cuban.
So it didn't have anything to do with Mark. It was
no.
It was about the other people.
Yeah, it was about Donnie.
Who
about
thought
Donnie
he
Nelson.
Was full of baloney.
Yeah.
Hey, do you find yourself browsing local home listings, longing for the day you can ditch your landlord, dreaming of staking down some plastic flamingos in a lawn you can call your own? If buying a home is your dream, then the folks over at Stockton Mortgage are here to help. Pink flamingos and all, with a variety of mortgage options, competitive rates, and down payment assistance for those who qualify. What are you waiting for? Give them a call today or get started by going online to Stockton.com. NMLS 8259, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, Equal Housing Lender.
This segment of Stockton Mortgage's Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
And welcome back to the second half hour of the first hour, Sports Talk, Dan Issel and Mike Pratt. And today is not the prettiest day we've had in Kentucky this October, but it's temperature's nice. And if you want to explore Kentucky, explore the outdoors, there's no better place than home. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com. Plenty of time this weekend if you're a cat fan to go out and explore Kentucky.
Yeah, bye week.
Cats have a bye week. So plenty of time to go out and check it out. In process is going back to the track probably this weekend to try to recapture what was left there?
Hey, maybe.
Doesn't seem real exciting.
Maybe. Look, I'm more interested in that bourbon trail you guys keep talking about.
We've experienced that. Not that we're bourbon drinkers, but we certainly understand what's going on. But our good friend...
We are Kim Crawford Wines drinkers.
Yes, we are. And our good friend Dick Gabriel is brought to you by the Kim Crawford Wines Celebrity Hotline. What's up there in Lexington, Gabe?
Man, I'd like to enjoy some of that wine at some point.
There you go. We have to make sure you get a bottle.
There you go. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Are you Chardonnay? Are you Cabernet? Are you?
I'm a red wine guy.
You're a Cabernet, Pinot Noir.
Yeah. Nice Shiraz.
Shiraz, I like Shiraz.
Now and then. Yeah.
I don't like Merlot, though, but I like all those three.
I'm okay with Merlot.
Yeah, a little sweet for me.
Are you a bottle guy, Dick, or a box guy?
I lay on the floor and let someone pour it into me. So it doesn't matter to me.
I can't handle that box wine, man. I cannot handle that box wine.
There's just something about a box. I was in Italy. I've been in Italy twice. I've never seen any wine coming out of a box over there. No. I know that makes me sound snobby. But,
did you get some good wine over there?
My grandparents were from a village about the size of my garage, but I just can't do the box wine.
Well, I can't either, so I totally agree. But moving on from the wines, what's the atmosphere? What's the feeling up there with this football team right now, Gabe? I mean, hopefully we don't have a bunch of fans jumping off the bridge after that Georgia game.
I think there's two factors at work here, Mike. And first and foremost is they have a legit shot at going 11-1. And, you know, obviously it's not a foregone conclusion. And the more points Tennessee scores, I think the more that Kentucky fans are looking at that game. Not that they're looking past Mississippi State, but they know it's a reminder. Look, you know, anything can happen. But the other thing is, I think the fact that, you know, and obviously I'm on the radio network and I trust that people listen to the radio while they're watching their TV, but people got to watch that Georgia game and see just how good Georgia is. And I think they came away realizing, look, Georgia was primed and ready. And yes, Kentucky made mistakes, dropped some critical passes, should have jumped on a fumble. Even if they had done that, I don't know that the Wildcats win that game. Might have been a closer score, probably would have, but Georgia was not going to lose that day. And I think if you know, people, and you and I know, and you guys went to school here, and you know what it was like, how many times have fans come away from games saying, oh, my God, they should have won that game. All they had to do was fill in the blank. That didn't happen, and it has not happened of late with Mark Stoops' team. So I think people feel better about that for that reason, but probably a good time for an open date, you know, mix in a little basketball and reset and then, you know, get ready for Mississippi State.
Dick, you mentioned it, and I thought it was, and I agree with you completely. Kentucky wasn't beating Georgia, and I don't see, you know, I've watched some of the other SC teams play. I don't see anybody beating Georgia.
No.
I think they wiped the slate clean. But that play at the end of the first quarter, when it was ruled, a fumble instead of an incomplete pass, and we just stood there and watched it while one of, I believe it was an offensive lineman, fell on the ball for Georgia. I thought that was a big play in the game.
No question. What that does is thwart, obviously, that Georgia drive and put off for who knows how long Georgia's first opportunity to score, because they scored on the next play.
Yeah, yeah.
At the beginning of the second quarter.
Yep.
You know, and that's a real kick in the teeth. So, yeah, you fall on that. And here's the thing, Dan, that drives me nuts about it. And it's easy for me to say because I'm not out there. But, you know, I've seen a few football games. How many times have you seen a pass take one hop and bounce to somebody, or just bounce in front, and a defensive player will pick it up and start running like he's going to score,
yeah,
knowing it's a dead ball? You know, I mean, you know, the brief time that I played football, that's supposed to be the instinct to jump on the football, whether you're on offense or defense, you know, and then let the referees sort it out. And as aggressive as Kentucky's defense is, I was stunned that nobody even made a step toward the ball. And I will tell you this. The entire Kentucky sideline, coaches, managers, players, were all screaming, get the ball, get the ball. I was right next to them. They were going nuts, yelling and pointing. And only after that did the Kentucky players even look at that ball.
Yeah. Well, I think the bye week could not have come at a better time.
Yep.
I don't think there'll be a trap game coming up, because I don't think – usually that happens – when you have a big win against somebody you weren't supposed to beat, or you really get hammered. I can't imagine that anybody on the Kentucky team thought that, you know, they really didn't play Georgia probably as well as they could have.
No, I agree. And it, you know, it's on the road, so they're going to be a little more focused. They're not going to spend the week having people tell them how great they are. And I like what Josh Pascal said after the Georgia game. He said, we're not used to losing around here. Yeah. When's the last time you heard that from a Kentucky football player?
Well, I will have to add 2 cents into your and Dan's discussion about trap games. I have circled Mississippi State since the start of the season, and here's why. You got Tennessee looming behind Mississippi State. Okay, that's a rivalry, right, Gabe? That's a big rivalry, and we haven't beat them consistently. But as well as we're playing, you can't look past Mississippi State at Tennessee. Now, you have not won at Mississippi State since 2007, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
So
it's been a tough place to play.
It is. It's, you know, it's a, I told Dan, it's Stark Vegas. It's hard to get there, let alone play there.
I think, actually, Mike, I think they won in 09, if memory serves me. Check me on this, but I think it was like a one-point game. Randall Cobb had one or two touches. It was one of the ugliest games that they played that year, but they won on the road, and that's what matters. But, no, it's since then. People think it's automatic when they play the Mississippi
Schools,
and
yep.
It's not.
No.
There's nothing automatic about the SEC. They have lost to Vanderbilt almost as many times as they've beaten Vanderbilt.
Yeah. That's a sad commentary. But you can't you can't let Mississippi State's going to play up tempo. They're going to throw the ball, do some things under Mike Leach, right?
Oh yeah, and remember this. Kentucky dominated Mississippi State last year. Well, remember now, Quentin Bohanna spent the night collapsing the pocket, and there are two cornerbacks playing against that air raid offense who are now in the NFL, and one of them starting. Kentucky, if it has any problem area on defense, I think we've seen, it's a little bit green still at cornerback. And who knows better how to take advantage of that than Mike Leach?
Yeah, that's for sure. What are you hearing, Dick, about the injuries? I think Oxendine is out for the year, but what about McCall, Ali, some of the other people?
McCall, I think, is still going to be down for this game, although obviously the open date helps. Stoops told us that Josh Ali was out on the practice field trying to move around a little bit on Tuesday. So, you know, he's going to have another, 7-8 days to try to get better, and they need him. I mean, I thought Levis did a great job spreading the ball around, and Cohen did a terrific job, I thought, calling plays. But they need an SEC-caliber receiver on the other side of the field or lining up next to Wandale Robinson and Josh Ali. So if they could get him back, that would be huge.
I agree. And we've talked, Dan and I have talked with various people like yourself and maybe even yourself about the backside of the defense, and the corners were just not there against Georgia. And
well, they were just playing soft, you know. And by that, I don't mean they weren't physical. I mean, as you guys know, they were too far off the receivers because they haven't yet learned how to run with receivers. And it's not easy. It's the hardest position on the field next to quarterback, in my opinion. And, you know, Jeff Pecoros pointed that out on our broadcast week after week, that they're giving way too much cushion. But they're trying, and they're playing a lot of zone. And Jeff has talked to Brad White about it, and not that Brad has said this, but Jeff has inferred that they're trying to protect the corners a little bit until they can really get up to speed in the SEC.
Yeah, I've also heard all of that, and I think that's coaching. That's what you have to do to cover your pimples. And I mean, they're but still, with a guy like Mike Leach, man, you better tweak it somehow, because you know he's coming at your weakest spot with the with the passing game, and that would be the corners and the backside of the defense. But saying that, Mississippi State is not a great running team, and that could help Kentucky, would you not say?
Agreed, absolutely. Yeah. And you know what's kind of ironic about that, guys, is when Mummy first got here with the air raid, and everybody was concerned, oh, it's going to be fun, but, you know, what about running the ball? And Mummy told us, and I went back and checked it, and he was right. He said, my best teams have had a 1,000-yard rusher every time. And he was right at Iowa Wesleyan, at Valdosta. Now, at Kentucky, he abandoned the run in his last two or three years here at UK. Mummy did. And they had Kylan Hill on that team, you know, when Leach got there, and he was unhappy because he wasn't being used very well. Now plays for my beloved Green Bay Packers, an NFL caliber running back. So, yeah, they don't run the ball very well. The other thing, too, is their quarterback's banged up. So, you know, how well is he going to be able to take advantage of what he sees in front of him? Because, you know, guys, they're going to flood the field with potential receivers, force Kentucky to play man-to-man, and then find a weakness and pick on it.
Dick, let's move ahead to the Tennessee game. Now, you're on the sidelines, and you're exposed. Will you be part of the security team checking the Tennessee fans for golf balls and mustard jars?
You know, it's funny you said that, Dan, because watching that game, I remember thinking, man, I'd be running for my life down there
exactly.
if I were covering that game. And I remember somebody at Vandy chucking a whiskey bottle from near the top of the visitor sideline stands to the Kentucky sideline. You know, and of course the brainiac who did it couldn't hide because security began to look for him, and he tried to duck down and crawl away, and people were pointing at, here he is, right here, go get him. You know, but there wasn't any of that being done. That's what shocked me at Tennessee, was very begrudgingly did security finally move up into the stands, but I guess there were too many. They had them outnumbered. There were just too many bottles flying through there. So, Nalen has not been the most hospitable place of late, has it?
And what amazes me is they get fined $250,000 by the SEC. So I guess in their minds, the SEC minds, chucking full water bottles and golf balls at the opposition is akin to the kids running on the field after a big win.
Yeah, and I guess the next time they flood the field with garbage, it'll be $500,000. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think the perpetual question will be, and I didn't originate this, who brings a golf ball to a game? I'm sure they went to a concession stand and stole the mustard bottle, but who brings a golf ball?
Yeah.
Guy going to the game, got to load up. Where's my range ball? And it was a range ball. It wasn't a good one.
That's great. Now, I wondered that too. Dan and I talked about that earlier this week. But Tennessee, that is the craziest place in football with their coaching and who they're paying that's not there. And then the issues. The basketball crowd is rowdy. They're very much behind. You've been there. The team. But, I mean, football, they just lose their minds down there.
Yeah, and I think a part of that, Mike, is that, first of all, the crowd is so big. But secondly, you go back and look at the last, couple of decades of Tennessee football, when things began to go sour, and they turned on Fulmer and got rid of him, and they kept screwing up their coaching hires and you know, wasting talent. They recruited a high level and not do much with it. You know, they saw the Kentucky streak end to a UK team that started a wide receiver quarterback, for crying out loud. I mean, it's all gone so badly, so quickly, it seems, for Tennessee, which when you guys were in school, when I was in school, and well after that, Tennessee was a national brand in college football. You could say Southern Cal, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Alabama, and nobody would bat an eye. I've talked to people who covered the sport down there for years. They say that'll never come back. That kind of notoriety they'll never see again. And I think Tennessee fans are just incredible. Not that this excuses anything, but incredibly frustrated that so many teams in the league, including Kentucky, have blown by them in the SEC.
Dick, let's talk a little bit about basketball. Were you at the media day yesterday?
I was, and thanks to the COVID protocols, they had a new setup, and it was really good. They spread out tables all over the court at the Coliseum, where you boys used to bounce basketballs, and Calipari was seated at a table, and we were all up in the stands, in the grandstand, so it worked out pretty well. It was fun. And I'll tell you what, you guys will get a chance to talk to some of these kids if you haven't. This might be, top to bottom, the best roster I've ever encountered when it comes to interviews. They're funny, they're engaging, they're articulate, top to bottom. Damian Collins, a little bit shy, but it's a gold mine of kids who can talk. And generally there's only a couple of Mike Pratts and Dan Issels, but up and down this roster, they're all a lot of fun.
Well, Gabe, that's a great point. I'm looking forward to that because, as you know, you've interviewed enough guys pre and post and after their playing days. And it seems like there's very few that come out after the game as player of the game and really – want to be engaged. I mean, they're out there because they send them out there, and they'll say a few things. But when you get a guy, Tyrese Maxey last year, and quickly was a sophomore.
Oh.
But they came out engaged, and they'll talk to you about things. And you know how we try to do it. We have an advantage versus you. We when they come out early and they sit in front of us, we try to talk them up. Jimmy Barnhart and I. We try to talk them up and loosen them up.
Yeah.
But we had guys last year. We had some guys last year that were, or 2 years ago, because last year we did it via the phone. 2 years ago, we had some guys that were really, really engaged, and it was fun. And so I should look forward to this year being the same way with even more than a couple.
Absolutely. I'd be shocked if you don't have just some great conversations with these guys. Got to ask them the right questions. You know that. But you know what I also think it is, guys? I really think that with his NIL business, they've been maybe been coached up in a different way. You know, they are hearing more and more about building their brand, and now they can benefit from that financially. So why not come across on TV and radio like somebody who could be a potential pitch man? You know, I mean, you just had a Kentucky player last night sign on there with a Porsche dealership in Louisville. You know, and if coming across in interviews, it opens the door for that. Mike, I think you may have trouble shutting these guys up.
Well, that's good. That's so I don't have to do a lot of talking. Pulling it was sometimes it was like pulling teeth to get guys to talk, and it's so much fun to listen to them when they are engaged and they want to talk.
Yeah, and you know it's fun too. It's always this way, but I found that if you want to get somebody really going and have fun with them and get them, you know, some heartfelt answers. Ask them about their teammates. You know, don't just say, oh, he played a good game, didn't he? But, you know, get them talking about the guy in the locker next to him, and they really start to open up. And we had a lot of fun with that yesterday.
Dick, what are you hearing about their ability on the basketball floor? I saw that the league media pick them to be the favorite to win the SEC, which is amazing to me given how tough the conference is going to be this year.
I agree, but it was fun, again, going back and them talking about their teammates, hearing people talk about Shibue and how physically tough he is, and hearing people talk about Damian and saying, you know, he does things that I've never seen before. You know, and of course you've got the veterans, you know, and Mintz and Grady and you know, the people who have logged some minutes in college basketball. You know, they're very confident. They like playing with one another. And Calipari is going to have a similar, I think, challenge that Pitino had with his 96 team, is figuring out how to put it all together. But I think these kids, as long as they win, I think they're amenable to it. You know, and everybody wants to play. You guys know that. But I just think that the skill level of this team could be one of Calipari's best.
Well, that's what Big Blue Nation wants to hear. And it is it is amazing, as you know, the way Calipari has turned his car around. He was going south. He turned that car around, went out, got some players. Now he's definitely headed north.
Yeah, the transfer portal was his rest stop, wasn't it?
It was.
He got back on the superhighway with a car full of talent. And, you know, who has dealt with a transfer portal? Who has benefited more than Mark Stoops in college football? And who has benefited more than John Calipari?
Dick, we really appreciate your time. We'll be listening next Saturday when you're at Starkville. Good luck down there to the team. We always appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, fellas.
All right,
thank you, Gabe.
Bye-bye.
He gave us a little insight at the end about basketball, and this is our basketball week.
You know, that's a great point about, and you know, you've been on both sides. You've interviewed guys who had to come out of the locker room after the game and really aren't that excited about doing it. And you've been that guy who came out of the locker room. And really, I mean, there was a time when, you know, you got a $100 gift certificate to a jewelry store or to a restaurant or something like that. But now that these kids are being coached about how they can build their brand, they may be fighting in that locker room to come out and talk to you.
Well, that would be good, because I've had some that didn't even made it very clear they wanted nothing to do with this.
There's nothing worse than trying to interview a guy or a gal who has no interest in being there and has no interest in the interview succeeding.
you're so right.
It is the worst, that's for sure. Hey, when you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike forest trails, paddle through clear waters, enjoy a horseback ride, or simply soak up the sights and sounds of nature. Looking for more thrills? Hop on a mountain bike, race through the rapids, venture deep underground, or zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.